The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend. Check this.
Welcome to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, live on Highland Radio or back by the podcast. We're beaming from Highland Motors here in the mountain top. Lawrence Harrigan's looking after us. Lawrence, how are you? Big deals going on the cars here. They're flying out. No better man call but see Lawrence and look after you. Of course, Highland Motors sponsor all the live broadcasts of GA here at Highland Radio. And of course, myself, Oisin and Martin McHugh will be bringing all the action from the big game on Sunday at Croke Park. I want to thank Joe Dix for their Power Hour Plus there. And of course, Katie was on the news. Our head of sport, Oisin Kelly's here producing this as ever. My wingman, Park Hilfordy, is in the house. Park,
how are you doing, Brandy?
Nothing good in the shorts, kid.
Well, it's kind of the wrong memo to get, you know.
Did you know it? We've got cameras from UTV and every year.
good to see them. To be takes
you'll,
up your makeup.
You'll be on the news now. You
takes up your makeup of a better or something.
Dan's here doing a bit of filming as well. Good man, Dan. Always a great lad to see around the matches. Coming up later in the show, we're going to speak with Neil Loughran of the Irish News. We'll be discussing another small wee semi-final that nobody cares about. It's the Armagh Kerry one. Of course, being a Down man, he'll probably have to mention Down in the Talchin Cup. In studio here with myself and Park, I also have the powerhouse himself, John Gilday, a regular to the show. John, you keeping well?
So far, so good, Brent.
Good to see you.
Thanks for having
me. You avoided the shorts tonight. You got the memo.
I got the memo. Plus, my legs are not quite as good as they used
seen
to be.
I've seen you in the Mount Airy Gym. He's going well, this man.
He's got good,
I would want to run into him.
He's got good calves.
It's the agent football hope that somebody's going to get badly injured and McGuinness might need you for a good 5 minutes towards the end of the game. But
there you go. Not Martin Regan. I thought Regan would be as far as you'd push at McGuinness.
We live in hope. Dream big. That's the motto for Donegal in 2024 is dream big.
Oh, massive, massive. We're also, I'm delighted to say, joined by Galway legend, All-Ireland winner, Ja Fallon. Ja, are you coming through there?
I am, brilliant. I can hear you loud and clear.
Ja, thanks so much for joining us. Ja, listen, I'd like to start with you, of course, in the news of John O'Mahony's sad passing. You know, very young, 71. What a life he had, Ja, packed in. You know, a teacher, a coach. He was in the politics, TD, senator, of course. 8 county titles with 3 different teams, Leitrim, Mayo and Galway. But, of course, most fondly known around the country for the amazing All-Ireland victories of 98 and 2001. Ja, your memories of John at this sad time?
It was shocking news. It's only yesterday morning at 9:30. Sean Oak texted the group and it was opened up then, I suppose. But it was sad. The poor man, he suffered the last while. You know, he was on a lot of treatment and stuff. So it was very sad to hear of his passing. We were always hoping that he'd overcome it. But unfortunately, it wasn't to be.
Yeah. And, Chad, do you know what? Recently, I was at a fundraiser in Armagh. And there's a load of players there, Tyrone lads and Armagh lads. And in stepped John O'Mahony. And I was like, wow. Because, you know, meeting someone like him at any time, it's such an honour to meet him. Of course, you know all about my Galway connections. If Donegal were going to win it, we're always rooting for you guys, you know. And he's actually, his daughter was married to Patrick McKeever, McKeever Sports. So he was setting up the day. So John was on one of the panels, and I knew from him, and unfortunately my dad had been sick recently, you could tell that he was obviously going through a battle, one that he wasn't going to win. But listen, a huge, at least back, just a huge footballing story, you know, looking back at the amazing triumphs of probably Leitrim was the biggest ones, you know, in terms of coming through Connacht. And then, you know, he obviously was a huge thing he would have loved to done was took Mayo all the way, but he did it twice with Galway and the group and the players that he had. Yeah, it was such an amazing time for Galway and for you.
Oh, absolutely. And I look back at it, you know, and I remember talking to John about this, about Leitrim, and I know it was brilliant that they won the county championship in 94, but I remember having a chat with John about that. He felt that they should have got to the finals. You know, they didn't really do this as justice against Dublin in that semi-final. He had it in his head, because in fairness, they were a very strong bunch of players, to Declan Darcy, Mickey Quinn and Seamus Quinn. They were a very good team. They turned those over twice in the early 90s. you know. So, like, but he just, in fairness, John, he was such a personal fella. He got the best out of people. Like, apart from being ahead of his time as a coach and the time he put into it, when I look back to it, in our time, he'd make Burn the physio from the soccer after Hartley coming off the World Cup and getting involved in 98. He'd Tommy O'Gorman, who passed her, all these guys, and Eddie O'Sullivan also was involved. So he put a star-studded management team together when he came to Galway. And, you know, he can only both respond to a setup like that more than what Jimmy has there. He just has them singing for you, you know, and they're on the crest of a wave. And momentum is key, and John was brilliant at that, you know. So he's sadly missed.
Yeah, sadly missed. Park, I mean, 8 Connacht championships. It seems like, you know, when you think about your career of being around teams and that, to take teams the way he did, and then the way this Galway team came with such a buzz in 98, and of course, Ja to the fore of that. I mean, what a performance in the final, and so fondly remembered. But such a big loss to the sport.
Huge. You know, we only met up there last year, 25 in Co Park. It's hard to believe it's that long. But you know, and he was like, the Texas were going before that he was going to be around. He said, you know, when he got the treatment broke first, when he had it at CEO on certain date in 2023, and, you know, rooting. But unfortunately, he won't be there for the next one. He'll be there in spirit, there's no doubt. Yeah. But it was a lovely, lovely weekend in Dublin to meet up, and, you know, I suppose it's very sad.
Yeah. Sad stuff, Parik, yeah?
Very sad for his family and for everyone down in Galway as well. But I suppose the aspect of being a manager, Brendan, is one thing about leading, you know, teams like he did, but taking Leitrim probably to where he took them was a huge feat alone.
I think there was 300 men apparently playing Gaelic in Leitrim at the time.
And that's phenomenal. You know, when you look at that and you look at the way he's developed that Leitrim side during that time, to actually believe they could win a Connacht title and nearly get them there, you know, and things like that. But suppose from one in All-Irelands as well, and eight Connacht titles, when Connacht titles, they're tough to win. They are tough to win. Like, they're like Ulster. But to do that consistently, huge feat for
Yeah, massive. And Donegal almost met them in 98. Don't know, with that late Brawley goal, we could have been, there could have been a pathway there. Football was a bit more innocent then in Jono's time, in terms of getting teams ready and right, you know. But, you know, that success, I mean, after that huge gap for a Connacht team to come through and win it, it was real groundbreaking stuff from him.
Yeah, no, as Ja pointed out, he was a real innovator of his time. You know, he was one of the great managers of,
he created the belief.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we had the Mick O'Dwyers, you know, the big characters, and then he was that next wave of new manager that was coming through with new ideas, new concepts. You know, Galway at that time were the glamour side of the country. They played an unbelievable style of football, of which Ja was pivotal, and very fast pace. And I suppose it might have been more innocent up here than down there, because he did bring a level of professionalism and organisation that the Northern teams then followed suit with. You know, you had Armagh and Tyrone then became very professional. And I would suggest that John O'Mahony was probably the start of that evolution. And just like Jim now is seen as the messiah to a certain point of view, with new ideas, new concepts, new style, O'Mahony was very much in that ilk as well. He was groundbreaking, he was innovative, and he had huge success across the board. And not even from a Connacht and All-Ireland perspective, but he was hugely successful within club management all around the country as well. And I was listening to various reports today, and I was fortunate enough to meet him once or twice in you know, different circumstances. But everybody had something good to say about the man, even from a political point of view, and he moved into politics. Everything he did well. He did with 100%, and he brought everybody with him. And it's a huge legacy to leave when you have people like Ja and people all over the country eulogising about the man, and he's left a great impact on GAA people and non-GAA people alike.
Yeah, condolences to the Mahony family, of course. Ja, one of his lieutenants from that time, no more than yourself, was Parik Joyce. Are you thinking that he learned a lot from John? Do you see anything similar in styles or the way he approaches the game that I suppose were a sum of many parts? But I'm sure John O'Mahony has had a huge influence on this Parik Joyce era at Galway as well.
Yeah, there'll be totally different styles, I'd say, as personalities. But I would say you were definitely that personal touch which PJ would bring more than Jono had, where, you know, he just gets that bit more out of you, you know, that he shows a huge interest in you as a person and an individual. So, yeah, you know, I'm sure he has picked up his own things. That's the only thing I would take from PJ and chatting to him, you know, that's where Jono was very special. He just had a way of, you know, I go back a couple of years before that in the county board, that they were locked out of the dressing room. They weren't allowed to come in with previous managers. You know, there was just a disconnect there. And when Jono came in, everyone was a part of it. You know, everyone, even girlfriend, anyone, wives, county board, everyone played a role. And he was just that glue and gel. And it was all down to his communications and his likability. And that's, you know, you don't win anything unless you have that unity. And he brought that in abundance. And people just bought in then, you know. And then, I suppose, Gaul would be fickle enough supporters. They're not like Donegal, who, in fairness, are great supporters, wherever you go. Because it's a dual county, you know. And I remember when you're going back to the Leitrim game, so you were down about Leitrim in 93 and 94, and we robbed them in 95, absolutely. And there'd be 200 people from Gaul in the championship game, which is, you know, that's how low it was at that stage. And Jono came in shortly after when we beat them in 95. He did, I'm not sure, did he in 96 with Leitrim, but he came into us in the winter of 97, and it just took off from there, I suppose. He had his ideas, what he wanted to do, and thank God it ended the way it did. So, you know, for all of us, like, we're indebted to him, because, you know, when I look back in other days, he got me back from Benrubi, he got Kevin Welch, who was going to retire, and, you know, it was all in Tomas Mannion, had a bad back and farming, and he was able to just pull all the guys in and, you know, gel us together as a team, and, you know, the rest is history, I suppose.
Yeah, good history it was. John, see, before we get into Donegal, Galway, a bit more here, we have to mention Mickey Hart. Mm-hmm. The saga, the Hart saga. Listen, people talk about, you know, have you ever seen as much, I suppose I was just chatting to Dan there about column inches and the amount of rumours, and it's been an absolutely crazy year from a Derry supporters perspective, particularly after the trajectory of since they went to Division 4. It's been up, 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 and everything was improvement, and last year, knocking the door of semi, back-to-back Ulsters, and then this year, the House of Cards. Now, they did kind of steady the ship again, John, but again, they're back to defensive ship. They went too far the other way then, you know, averaging 11 points a game the last three games. They've sorted their defence out, but they kind of dropped out of the championship then, as we thought they might. Now, they did, as they get their act together, but were you surprised then that Mickey maybe didn't stay on, or did you think the writing was on the wall?
I suppose it's very easy looking back inside and hindsight. It's like watching a really bad Hollywood movie where two people get married and you're sitting at the wedding going, this not going to work out really well. It had that feel from a very early stage. It was all or nothing. Like, it was a huge step for a Tyrone man to go into Derry. Any Tyrone man to go into Derry, let alone Mickey Hart, with all the baggage and all the history and everything else. And as you well know, you know, there's no love lost with anybody up here, but particularly between Tyrone and Derry down through the years. And Derry is an amazing county when things are going very, very well. But we all know that there's a lot of politics in Derry as well. Just, I suppose, like every county in Jah alluded to, you know, Galway not going well back, you know, 15, 20 years ago and only having 200 supporters. Derry are like that as well to a certain extent. And they had this complete, you know, stratospheric trajectory where they came from nowhere and they were the dominant team in the country. And then I think when Mickey came in, he was under huge pressure to deliver. And I think that compounded everything, because I think then they were driven too hard. If you look at the Glen boys, they had gone to two All-Ireland finals. They played through the league and everything else. And the week after they played the All-Ireland final, they were back playing McKenna Cup, you know, and it all caught up with them. And then when the wheels came off the wagon, as you well know, there's plenty of people that are both nationally focused and Derry focused just waiting in the background to drive the knife. Yeah. And that's ultimately what happened. And the wheels fell off the wagon. Donegal were a big part of that, because that shocked everybody. And nobody could see it coming apart from Jim and the team. And like we talked about it here at the time, we didn't see it coming. You know, we were hoping that we'd stay in the game, etc. So him walking away, I think it's a case he walked away before he was pushed. There was so much pressure coming on from the Derry players, old, even past generation players. You had Brawley chipping away constantly. There was just too much bad blood. There was a complete underperformance. And I think he did the right thing for himself and from Derry to walk away, because it just, it was never going to work out.
Yeah, yeah. You know, John just mentioned there, obviously, you, John O'Mahony coming from Mayo into Galway. It raised a few eyebrows at the time, but he won them over. Mickey Hart was never going to win there, unless he won all Ireland, which, no, they've won one in their history. What's the chances? You know, it was such a long shot in terms of looking at it now. You're thinking, how is this going to work unless something absolutely magical happens? And even then, you're just about winning it. Like, it seemed like such mission impossible.
But Brendan, it was that performance that raised the eyebrows from the Donegal point of view. They went out then, they played Galway, bit of a performance there, came back against Armagh, was really the icing on the cake. They went back to that, you know, that, you know, that style of football they were doing. And for me, I suppose that was, you know, you did it once. Do you do it again, or do you decide to yourself, well, as a manager here, I'm going to change this up to maybe not get on the wrong side of these goal opportunities that are happening? And I think a lot of people questioned them then after that, you know. And suppose, as John alluded to, it's very, very hard to win over the Derry supporters as well. But when you've got external noises and you've got that Tyrone Derry factor as well, look. For me, Mickey Hart, phenomenal manager, but just didn't work out for him this time.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, remains to be seen where he goes from here, Park. It'd be interesting. Jad, this Galway team, tell me, which team are we going to see at the weekend? Because obviously tons of injuries in the league, but you've done enough to stay up. And then we've seen such up and down form, you know, and I even think to see the recent games of Mayo and Monaghan, you know, Mayo had that game won. Fair enough, he's conjured up, but I think they had a lot to do with that in terms of kind of giving it away. And Monaghan game then, you know, I think back to the McBennett strike off the bar with about 10 to go. And no one then was thinking, right, where's Galway going? You know, injuries, and they're limping along. And then you produce that unbelievable game against Dublin, which must have just infused the whole county again, getting us back into 2022 form.
I kind of disagree with you, to be honest.
Good, that's what the show's about, a bit of debate, man, I like it.
Yeah, because, you know, it's all about getting over hurdles and you grow into a championship, and I think Galway are hitting the ground running from now on, and that's a huge injection. We always know they're capable of turning up Dublin. To be honest, I know a lot of guys more than that have a few pounds in Galway against Dublin. Just if they got it right, you knew they could take them, because they have an abundance of talent. They have, then it could be undermined. They need to tighten up the defence. Defence is very strong. And they've learned along the way, and they've made a couple of changes, and they will take a bit of beating. I genuinely say that now. That will be a different Galway team again in Croke Park. That game against Dublin will absolutely bring them on hugely, and they're going to be very hard beat.
Yes, you're looking at, you know, likes of in the league, Fitzgerald, and likes of Darcy, John Maher, you know. Finnerty had really upped his game as well, because obviously Comer and Walsh, and there was a lot of injuries out there, you know, McDade. So is it something that the league, I suppose, helped maybe get, you know, a bit more resilience on the other players? And now the lads, I know they're not completely all fit, but if they're all on the pitch, you know, there's a real strong team blossoming there.
Yeah, well, I suppose when you look back in the league, it was going to be a long shot with so many injuries. It's kind of unheard of that PJ had in his head that we got them all right, and the time for the championship, we could have an assault to this. And it nearly, to be honest, we were unbeaten in the championship, you know, which is a big plus. We only led against Sligo, and was at it down the Markham's Park, and it was only for Damien Cumber came on, a huge difference. We were out of sorts, but we came through. Do you know what I mean? And we all go back to our careers and games that you came through and you shouldn't have came through, and you ended up winning it. And, you know, there's a lot of football to be played yet, but, you know, what's happening in Galway now is the players are on the field. We're not, no more than 3 years ago, we're not heavily relying on as much on Shane and Damien, you know, as for they're all chipping in. We have guys come off the line as well. You know, Tomo did very well there, Johnny Heenan, who probably sticks the claim he should be starting in his own eyes, and rightly so. John Daly, big call that between injury and loss of form, he's held in reserve as well. And these are, he's an All-Star a couple of years ago. So I just think PJ is just getting the right time. I really do. More than Jim, who has absolutely a wonderful year and has turned the whole thing around. But I genuinely think Gower are a little bit ahead of them.
That's fine, talk.
Jimmy Comer will be a different animal next to that. He'll be chopping on the bit.
John, that's a dangerous prospect for anybody. What do you think of what Jazz saying there? We've come through a few games, John, where we've lucked out of sorts and looked like we could lose them, but we've won them. Is that what you think? This is the right time for Galway, a few so-so performances but coming good at the right time. Is that the way to come into this game?
Listen, they're in the semi-final, just like Donegal. I'll take it that Galway are going to come in very confident. I suppose they're further along on their journey than this Donegal team would be at this point in time. You know, and we said it a couple of weeks ago, like, we're ahead of schedule. If you were looking at this from a very practical point of view, if you had told Donegal supporters 9 months ago that we would be Ulster champions, we'd be sitting in an All-Ireland semi-final, you know, nobody would believe you. So I take Jazz's point in the sense that Galway have been down this road before. They have some exceptional players. I believe Shane Walsh is the best player in the country by a long shot. People talk about Clifford and everything else, but Walsh is spectacular. He's still a huge player for them.
But that was his first real good game, John. You know,
he comes alive in Croke Park.
Right.
You know, he did the same in the All-Ireland final. He comes alive in Croke Park. He's built for the great. You know, he's a phenomenal player. You know, if you look at Kelly McDade, Paul Connery, they have power, pace all over the pitch. So I can understand why Ja and the people in Galway are confident. And it's not just Ja, at least anybody thinking that he's doing something crazy down there. This is the story coming from Galway and friends and family down there that are saying exactly the same thing. They're very confident. They're looking forward to it. And they feel that Donegal is maybe a one-trick pony. We're very counter-attack orientated. We get an awful lot of impetus from our half-back line. That will probably play into Galway's hands because they sit in this low block. They're defensive and then they break. So all perfectly set up for Jim to do what Jim does. So that's the big...
Shut it down.
You know, for all intents and purposes, Galway are going to go into this as favourites, and rightly so. But at the end of the day, every hurdle that has come in front of Donegal this year, Jim has found a way. He has intimate knowledge of Galway because he was, you know, and floating around them there for a couple of seasons. That's a little advantage. Galway have been favourites. Pressure. This is a very much a Jekyll and Hyde Galway side. And like, they've come through games unspectacularly and unimpressively in lots of ways. Now, the other side of that is they've won them. They've managed to find a way, which is very important. A team not playing well, finding a way to win, is very, very difficult to put away. But again, if Galway are not firing on all cylinders, they showed against Armagh, they switched off and Armagh nearly had them. They've showed in games where they can switch off, things can go against them. If things go against them on Sunday, will Jim allow them and the Donegal team allow them to come back into it? I wouldn't think so. For me, it's very much a 50-50. I think this is Donegal's most difficult game this year by a long way. I think Galway put obstacles in the way that other teams haven't so far, in the sense that they have a huge amount of talent going forward. They're a big, strong, physical, athletic team. They have a very solid defensive structure that we, apart from Armagh, we haven't come up against this year. So from my point of view, it's going to be very interesting to see how Jim figures out a way, if he can and if the team can, of dismantling this Galway defence while shutting it back down on the other side of the equation. Because if we give Galway the kind of space that we give Louth, then Shane Walsh, Comer, Finnerty, McDade, these guys are going to have a field day. So for me, it's a very much a 50-50, hard to call. As a Donegal man, you're going into this going, you know, we'll find a way. But it's a toss of a coin.
John, would you agree with that?
I totally agree with John, to be honest. Yeah. Really, when you go through, they're two really footballing counties. Like, when you look at talent, if you put them up against each other, like, they're acres. Or like, Ryan is back to himself, Paddy Morgan, and is flying, is absolutely flying. And O'Sheen is freaking a scoring machine, you know. So when you go through, and in your midfield is equally as good as what's got, I think it will be a toss of coin, you know. And well, the pros and cons, but and you have the Jimmy factor too, who's able to win games, you know. So it's set up to be an absolute cracker, you know. Really,
I thought you were going to give us a wee song there for a second, Jeff. Joe, what about the midfield?
I'm thinking of here, right?
Donegal, Donegal struggled a small bit at midfield the last day with kickouts. You know, was that something you think, big Jason McGee, there's question marks if he'd be in, probably Maher Conroy at midfield views. Do you think that's something where that extra...
Sorry, Bernard, what you say?
Just at midfield against Louth, we did struggle with a few restarts. Do you think that's something Galway put a big squeeze on Patton and try and get, you know, Conroy, Maher, and, you know, just that height?
But as you notice that they're not pressing every kick out. It's very calculated. A lot of times when there's freeze, they'll push up, and when there's no possible chance of pushing up and down. So it swings and roundabouts. So you just, they'll have to read that, I suppose. And I presume both teams will have the license that when to push up and when not, and at the right time to get a score and stuff like that. There's a lot of big men and a lot of good footballers on the middle, you know, it's a toss of coin. How the ball breaks, who knows? And, you know, it'll come down to that along the middle at times. But sometimes the midfield can be bypassed if you get your kick out. You know, so
McGrath pick up Gallen, Glenn pick up McBurdy and try and like take McBurdy up the pitch. I can see that happen. What about the likes of Ahini maybe coming in to pick up Mogan after his performance the last day? Do you see something like that happening?
I doubt. I'd say PJ will stick with what he has. In fairness, you know, there's still, you know, Johnny is, I suppose, he's experienced enough now to be able to come off the bench and not be hurting, not starting and make an impact like he did the last day. You know, he's a good, like, he's a brilliant player, Johnny, and like always a great return. You were surprised, eyes raised when he wasn't starting, but you can see now in the overall picture, like, we have impact coming off the bench. And, like, Mary Tierney is a big guy, 6'5", but like, he's like a stallion. He's got him down Crow Park, so you know they might expose him on the kick out using him. He's 6'5", you know, try and isolate guys there. A lot of big men, so it'd be very tactical that way. You know, I suppose they're going to have to try and curtail, you know, Padder, because I suppose he gets 6 points in play the last day, you know, and he's chipping away every day with points. And Ryan has, you know, he gets 2 or 3 points, there's no word of him, and he's having a great year in fairness also. So, it'll be all getting the matchups right on the day, and, you know, it could go to penos, huh? You just don't wear that.
Yes, yeah. We'll cover all angles. We'll be before it. Park goals. Goals won games, as we know. Hey, Galway's not conceding any. We only conceded against Cork in championship time, and that's a phenomenal record. And you think even that goal they did concede, it was a bad kick out by Gleeson. And so Galway's shut tight at the back, and even Donegal.
They have. There's no doubt. And it probably came down to it. And you'd be sorry for O'Connor because he's having a great game. Because when I went, was at the Armagh match, we had Armagh put away in the second half. There were 5 points, there were out ideas, and we just gave them a lifeline by a poor kick out. It shows you, it just gave them energy, and they came back into it and level match. And it was a sucker punch for Galway, and you didn't know what type of team would respond. They didn't get into the quarterfinal outright, but they responded like to win and turn over Dublin. Is, you know, because being at the game, Dublin and fairness, they're so sporting, but on the field, they're intimidating. They get stuck in you, and, you know, we big boys, Killy McDade on the day was brilliant, you know, and McCurran at the back, big call, dropping John Daly or injury, one or the other, but he's tightened up the whole thing. He's a real man macker. So, you know, Galway won't give scores cheap each other in Galway, and they can't afford it because the Oisins and Dees and Paddy come in and start, and like they know they have the boots on them, in fairness to them. So, yeah, it's teed up to be a cracker, in fairness, and hopefully we get it.
Yeah. Can you see Patton's been very good at his one-on-ones as well?
One-on-ones, no, definitely. I think Donegal tighten it up again, as John alluded to.
Curran to start for you.
Could potentially, with
McCall, I think.
Potentially. Yeah. Look, like that Galway forward line, they're serious, you know. But
Colgan's there too.
But even looking, Brendan, I suppose from a Donegal point of view, you've got runners from all angles, you know. And if you're going to pickpocket of a defence, who are you going to stop? You've Patter coming, you've Ryan coming. We've seen Owen Band pop up, get in for a goal as well. So, you know, is there going to be a goal on Sunday? It's going to be a huge goal whoever gets it now. So I'd be hoping Donegal can create those opportunities as well. But Jim's only man can answer that, how he's going to set up those.
Yeah, is the Jason McGee thing, is it vital, John, that he plays in a game like this? And I know he's got the type of injury where he's going to be putting his body in the line to play. So he's obviously been missing training a lot and that, you know, it's Crow Park, it's a big game. You know, is that a risk in itself? Kieran Moore played really well the last day, but if you're able to have the two of them on the team, you know, allow me Langan and Moore breaking from deep, that'd probably be the best scenario for Donegal.
Yeah, and there's no guarantee he'll start, but he would be a great man to come in with 20, 25 minutes to go. As Ja was saying, the Galway have impact subs coming in. Our subs coming in off the bench have had an impact all the way throughout the championship. Oran Doherty, Jack McKelvey, etc., etc. So having Jason coming in at a crucial stage would be a big impact from a Donegal point of view, just from the crowd's point of view as well. Listen, something's going to happen on Sunday, out of the norm. Like, there's no way that McGuinness is going into an All-Ireland semi-final without something up his sleeve. Like, we all remember the infamous 2011 when Donegal were playing the way, and then we decided we would get four more buses and park them as well. So I'm not saying that's going to happen, but, you know, he's very orchestrated and organised, and, you know, in his head, this is where they were. And there's something coming. I don't know what it is, because the way we've played so far, I don't think will suit Galway. Galway will play with their low block, their defensive. Porrick was saying that we have runners coming from all angles. That's all great when you have space. Galway don't give space in their defence, and they're big physical men. They can turn ball over. They take impact, and they take contact on a regular basis, and then they turn you. And then the other side of the equation, if Galway break fast, like Shane Walsh, these guys, they can turn defence into attack in a split second. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see how both teams set up. Again, Galway had great joy against Dublin when they pressed the kick out. They only really came into the game when they went after the kickouts in that third quarter, the moving quarter per se. So there's so many different angles in this that it's going to be difficult to figure out exactly what's going to happen until we're halfway through the game, and then it'll change again, flipping its head in the second half. Big impact in this game, I believe, will be the referee. I've seen him twice this year. I'm not a huge fan. He's very fussy. May suit us this time around, because I think what Galway will do is Galway probably have more physicality around the pitch than maybe Donegal do at this point in time, and will try to be much more aggressive on their press and bringing that aggression into the game and try to ruffle feathers. So from that perspective, it may suit us. But again, this is a game, you know, you go back to all the cliches and adages, a bounce of a ball game, you know, you just, All-Ireland semi-finals throw up all sorts of anomalies. You never know what's going to happen. That's the beauty of it. But from our perspective, and I'm sure it's the same from Galway's perspective, isn't it great to be having conversations about it and us being in the mix? And that's the big thing from a Donegal point of view.
Yeah, and we're in the mix, Ja. Listen, we're almost right up with the talk here. Ja, just on the points John was saying there, is there a thing from the Galway perspective that Jim has this bit of mystique and this tactic, and he'll have the boys drilled a certain way? I know him and Park are friends from their Tralee days and that, but is there that thing where there's a wee bit of a thing with Donegal because of Jim that they're going to bring something a bit different? Or do you think that here, even if they do, you've a feeling that Galway's going to have the ingredients to unlock the doors and come out on top eventually?
I'm sure there is. I think it's probably in the back of some guy's head, but I said that's one thing PJ would be drilling. It's about focusing on their own game. You know what I mean? That's nothing else enters their head rather than the gym factor, because it has worked. You know what I mean? Like it's dismantled Derry in the first round, and no one saw it coming to me. It was, you know, and okay, the I suppose Jimmy then tried that they push up high for the kick out, but, you know, it just worked. The PJ thing, maybe, but I don't know. I don't. I think PJ is a very strong character, you know, and he's been there, you know, and the guys in the morning gym will believe him, or they'll just buy in that sense. So I don't know if it'll have as much effect that it had in Ulster as such in the semi-finals. So time will tell, you know.
Time will tell, indeed. And time's catching up with us now. Ja Fallon of the famous Tube Stars and All-Ireland winner, thanks so much for joining us this evening. And listen, if you do beat us, we'll wish you all the best in the final, but we know that's not going to happen.
Best of luck, boys.
Top man, Ja, there. Ja Fallon, thanks so much. What a player you was, Johnny.
Legend. Oh, no, a Rolls Royce of a player.
Hey, a sideline kick. He doesn't like you talking about it. I'm glad he's away because he's such a humble guy. But I mean, there's very, you don't see sideline kicks had too often at Croke Park.
Not at all.
On All Ireland final
and,
day.
And the other thing was he was an animal on the field.
Aye. Like the rugby helped him.
He would perfectly fit into the modern era.
Yeah.
Like he was ahead of his time because, you know, the guy was a big physical man that could take hits. And then the other side of the equation is he could run up and down the field all day, which was the worst of all worlds for somebody like me.
You're I remember one of the Ireland squads, we were doing pull-ups, and I could do about 7 or 8 proper ones. He did about 35. I was like, this guy's he's an absolute animal, you know.
How many can you do now?
I'd say one-armed or two-armed. Listen, we're going to come back after this break. We're going to talk a wee bit of the other semi and everything else that's happening in the world of football with Neil Lovren. And Lewis Lawrence is going to make us, he's like a Kimberly McAdams here, is he, for the wee break. Bart's going to stay on here. We'll speak to you after this.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Yes, folks, welcome back to the DL Debate here live from Highland Motors in the Mountain Top, the lovely surrounding of Highland Motors, of course, sponsors of all our GAA Live broadcasts, of course, and they'll be looking after us as ever as we head to Croke Park at the weekend. Another team that's had success after a tough season, Park, as Donegal Ladies come out in that relegation qualifier. Vitally important after all the work that we did to make sure we're in the seniors for next season.
We spoke to Niamh McLaughlin last week, wasn't it, Brian? And suppose that was something, the focus had to change very, very quickly back to retaining that senior status. Delighted the girls did do that. 8-9, a bit of a tough battle against Kildare. But, you know, at the break, they were a point down. John got them, you know, re-energised. Suzanne White kicking 4 points. So, you know, I think from the year,
this is a great season.
Great, fantastic season. And suppose, like, when you look at where Armagh's going, it just shows you how close our girls actually are. You know, of course, suppose it was going to be a big upset by beating them in the Ulster final. But look, Kerry came to town. We got a draw there. We went away, and suppose a tough defeat on the road as well. But look, they got the ship back going again for this particular game. And you know yourself, those types of games, Brennan, they're difficult to get players up for towards the end of the year, but keeping that senior status for me is very, very important for the Donegal Ladies.
Yeah, huge. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Irish News GAA Encyclopedia of Knowledge, I can only call him Neil Lovren. Neil, you're welcome.
How are you? Neil, you keeping well?
Neil, I give an intro. It says we're going to talk a wee bit about the other small matter of the semi-final of the Orchard Men and the Kingdom. Of course, this is, you might have to mention the Down guys as well, getting ready for the Tailteann final. I sent you a wee message there about Ulster domination there at schools and underage. Of course, we have to mention Derry Minors or 17s or whatever they are. They keep changing on us. But there's been a lot of stuff, a lot of silverware coming Ulster way, and hopefully that continues.
Well, here, who knows what way things will sit at the end of this weekend. I mean, you could have potentially two Ulster teams in All-Ireland final, and Down, fingers crossed, back in the All-Ireland Championship for next year with the Tailteann Cup. It would be unbelievable, wouldn't it, given the year that it has been like that. That list you sent me earlier on of silverware, when you look down through it between, you know, from Waddy Grahams to Arva and everybody else in between, like, you know, it's unreal. Like, so We'll see where we stand on Sunday night. Like, we'll have a better idea just if we're going to start shouting from the rooftops by then.
Yeah. What's your feeling, Neil, on Armagh? A lot of teams have been up and down, and then you would say, well, sure, Kerry haven't shot the lights out, but they've done what they've needed to do, and they look like they're not going to be outplayed at any kind of tactical game. They showed that against Derry last day out. So is it a difficult conundrum for Armagh in terms of how they try and take on what is a very talented Kerry squad?
It is. I mean, I still am probably one of those people who remains to be convinced by Armagh. I think there's probably quite a lot of us about, you know, like, they sometimes flatter to deceive. They don't always do what you kind of think that they should do necessarily. However, I do sort of feel like in the last five or six weeks, probably since the Ulster final, they have really started to stumble on something. I think what you're seeing is Conley Gilligan's influence. You know, I know talking to some of the Kilcoo boys, like, you know, and obviously Down played Armagh in Ulster, and you know they would tell you that that his imprint is all over the way Armagh are playing at the minute, certainly defensively. You're seeing a much, I know they had kind of gone for this zonal approach a bit last year, but it's much more effective now. I mean, they now have one of the most effective defences in the country, which was always Armagh's Achilles heel. Like, you know, that was, you know, certainly this Armagh's Achilles heel. The talk about Armagh in the guts of the last decade has always been about this, you know, all the stars, all the attacking stars that they had, but my God, you know, like, they, you know, they could concede whatever. Well, that's definitely not the case anymore. The flip side of that is, it, you know, it has, you know, had an obvious knock-on effect on maybe what made us all love Armagh in the first place to a degree, you know, that kind of playing with a bit of abandon, you know, the kicking style. They still do mix and match, but I think what you're going to see against Kerry is probably very similar to what we saw in the Derry game. I don't expect that Armagh are going to come out and radically alter the way that they have been going about things. I don't think Kerry are going to be coming out wanting to leave, you know, any kinds of gaps. Knowing that really Armagh, where they are and the confidence that they have compared to where Derry were, was, you know, a couple of weeks ago, there was always a sense with Derry probably that they were not so much, you know, trying to hang in there, but there was definitely an element of that, you know, that they wanted to be in the game probably getting into the last 10 minutes sort of thing. There's probably a bit more of a feeling, a bit more of a fear of Armagh and what Armagh can do to Kerry. But I think you're going to see another attritional defensive, could be ugly enough. I'd love to see it cut open, but I just have a feeling it's not going to go that way, because I just think Armagh will try and they have more attacking weapons. Not even that they have more attacking weapons than Donegal, but they have more attacking weapons who are playing with confidence, who have more belief, and obviously, you know, maybe more faith in their manager than Derry had and what they were being told. So, you know, whenever you look through, you know, through that Armagh team, there's no doubt about it. Like right from, you know, right back to Barry McCambridge there, who's come in the last month and, you know, really been fantastic, adds another dimension to them coming forward. Aidan Faulker always has scores, and then Tiernan Kelly, you know, right from sort of five up, there's every one of them poses a threat in their own, possibly with the exception of Joe McElroy to a degree, like who has kind of become the go-to guy for snuffing out the opposition danger man in a lot of cases. But everybody else, you know, really needs watching. So I would suspect that we're in for similar-ish sort of fare to what we got in Croke Park a few weeks ago.
Mm. Do you agree with that, John? It's interesting now, you know, the point on Conleth Gilligan. You look at Geezer in there, you know, with Donaghy in, with McKeever in there. You look at Ger Brennan the last day, like some Moyna, James McCartan, and, you know, this huge squads that's building up with all this experience. And you wonder then, who's maybe directing it? Is there somebody there? And then, you know, as Neil said, it's very interesting that the Kilcoo boys saying they can see imprints of Conor Gilligan in there. Is that what you need? Is that what teams need, particularly McGeaney being there 10 years? Do they need something extra? And that person can come in, just can be that small difference?
Yeah, well, you know, the game as it stands right now is a game of small margins. You know, anything that can get you across the line or change the mentality within the setup. And obviously Armagh have been tweaking, you know, and in lots of people's eyes, they've probably underachieved over the last couple of years, and they haven't got the silverware that maybe they deserved. But ultimately, if you look at it from an Armagh perspective, they could be very much sitting in exactly the same position as Donegal are right now. They were the kick of a ball away from winning an Ulster title, and then we'd be having these conversations about Armagh. I actually like the way Armagh is shaping up this year. Now, I like the way they bounced back from the Ulster final, because it had been very easy with all the negativity being thrown towards Geezer and the team and everything else for them to crawl into a shell and disappear and drift out of the championship. And they knuckled down and went at it. And I suppose when you're talking about influences and all the Ulster team's doing so well this year, if you even look at the Ulster influence from a Tyrone perspective in Kerry and the way they're playing. And, you know, I grew up watching Kerry and the flamboyancy of Kerry and the way they play the game. They've completely converted the way that they look at the game. They're a much more structured, organised and somewhat cynical side than they were maybe 20 years ago. And that's the influence. I'm not going to say it's a Tyrone influence, but they're much more pragmatic. It's about winning games. I don't, and I said this a number of weeks ago when we were talking about, somebody said that Dublin and Kerry were ahead of everybody else. I didn't buy into it then, and I've been proven right with the Dublin result, and I don't buy into it now. I don't personally think this is a good Kerry team. I think Armagh can get at them. I think Kerry are very one-dimensional. They're very reliant on one or two of their big stars. If they're shut down, they're under serious pressure. And Derry shut them down for 50 minutes of the game. And let's be under no illusion, Derry weren't going well. Derry were there in a wing and a prayer and a hope. Like, they're not coming with this Armagh belief, this Armagh structure. And Armagh have been grinding out results consistently over the last 8, 9, 10 weeks. Were unlucky in an Ulster final. And even showed resilience against Galway, because as Jazz said earlier on, Galway and Armagh beat. They were gone and the game flicked very quickly, and then they had the tenacity and resilience to bounce back into it. So I agree, I think it'll be a dour affair. I think Kerry will be pragmatic. They'll mind the house. They'll not want to get caught. Semi-finals are about winning. It doesn't matter how you win them. It's about getting there. But I don't think the Kerry are going to have it as easy as they had against Derry. And I would not be at all surprised if we're sitting here on Sunday evening talking about Armagh being in the final and with a little bit of luck Donegal in the final. And sure, wouldn't that be a great conversation?
Neil, we're not selling this semi-final too well, because after Clare and Kilkenny at the weekend, we're afraid of small crowds at Croke Park. But listen, you that's how it's looking. You know, and you just mentioned there, Johnson, but you're shutting people down. Obviously, last day, Donny Smith and Enda Smith and Murta and boys that Roscommon had, they have big games. Armagh did shut them down. Now, I think the Kerry forward line is a lot better, but that said, Clifford and Sean O'Shane haven't been playing well. The scores have been coming all round the pitch. But maybe that'll suit Kerry, the fact that they have scores all round the pitch in terms of those lads inside not hitting the heights. And more, and we were just chatting earlier about Walsh. You know, should, you know, Sean O'Shea or Clifford click, you know, they are unbelievable talents. So, you know, that's, I suppose, a wee bit of a warning in the background for Armagh.
It is, but like, you know, you touched on the Roscommon game there, and I think, you know, again, you know, without wanting to kind of harp on too much about Armagh's defence here, but after the Roscommon game or during the Roscommon game, a lot of people were kind of, a lot was made of the wide count that Roscommon racked up, particularly early on. But if you look back at that, like, a lot of that owed to the fact, to the way that, to the decisions that Armagh make. You know, make you make, if you know what I mean, like, and where they make you shoot from. I remember a similar narrative coming out, you know, whenever Armagh beat Cavan and Ulster last year. I think Cavan hit something like 23 wides. A lot of them were from really stupid angles. You know, just a team that had run out of ideas and was frustrated. And you could see that with Roscommon the last day as well. And you know, I think that that's something that Kerry, as you said, that's where having scores from, you know, the less kind of traditional, less expected angles is maybe going to stand to them. Because last day, I mean, against Derry, you know, Clifford, Chrissy McCaig, you know, only one ball went into Clifford. You have to remember that, like, you know, one ball, and albeit he won it above two Derry men, but like that shows the, and Jack, I was in the press conference afterwards when Jack O'Connor was asked about the pragmatic approach that Kerry had, and Jack's history with Ulster football and dealing with pragmatism with perceived, I suppose, Ulster pragmatism goes back, you know, a couple of decades now, to those famous battles with Hearts, Tyrone, and the fact that, you know, the acknowledgement that they had to change the way that they were going, and he again admitted as much in the wake of the Derry match, like, you know, he was questioned about why, you know, the ball only went in once to Clifford, like, I'm sure, and he was like, but you know, even when it did go into him, he had to win a ball above two men to get to actually win it. But the point that the Kerry journalists were making was, yeah, but he won it, you know, put it into him. Yeah. So it's there's still a bit of a, I think there's still a bit of a grapple there down the kingdom, yeah, about just how Kerry are playing. I'm inclined to agree with what was said there. Like, I don't look at this Kerry team and think it's a great team by any stretch of the imagination. I think they're there to be beaten. Like, Paul Geaney did okay against Conor McCluskey last day, but doesn't offer a whole lot. Like, Tony Brosnan was dangerous enough, but you know, you kind of look through this Armagh team and you see relatively good matchups for some of those guys. Even, I mean, I don't know who's going to look after Clifford, whether it be Aaron McKay or whatever, but because of the zonal approach that they're going to take, you know, it's going to be, you know, they'll be looking to kind of shut Kerry down right across that kind of forward division. So I don't know. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see, because they just you don't. I came away from that Derry quarterfinal absolutely thinking, you know, that is a Kerry team that is there to be beaten in Armagh. Yeah. When you look at it, like, they have the tools to do it. It's just whether now they can carry on the momentum that they have built since Ulster final to see that job through.
I suppose that's a dangerous thing, maybe, Park. Just you think in a tactical warfare, I think Grimley and Creeley at midfield now allowing Rain to maybe play could be enough in that tactical warfare to allow Armagh to expose Kerry.
I think Armagh have a great opportunity here. I think the crowd is going to come down from Armagh as well. You know, Kerry don't travel too well for semi-finals and that, Brendan, so it's going to be an interesting one. Is it going to be similar to the Derry game?
Poor Crow Park's getting hit hard here.
Hopefully
in the budget,
not.
We'll have to give the tickets away for a five or something, John, will you?
We'll settle for a very turgid, drab Armagh victory and on Saturday night, and a classic on Sunday with Donegal with Donegal coming out on top, and then God knows we'll have to figure out how we're going to sell tickets for the final of Donegal or Armagh, because there'll be no neutrals going to that either.
Thanks very much, Neil. We're going to have to like Wimbledon, we'll have to shut the roof in Crow Park maybe around the lower tiers to make an atmosphere maybe. But listen, what we'll do is we'll go up and enjoy it anyway, Neil. Good luck to down the
Absolutely.
Final thanks
Brilliant.
For joining us this evening.
Good luck, man. Good luck.
Top man, Neil Lorman, of the English News, John Gilday, Barry Calvary, Jeff Fallon, and of course, Osh and Kelly for producing. Thanks so much, everybody, contributed to the show this evening.
Hang on, Lawrence is just saying 25% off all cars
Lawrence,
tomorrow morning.
Rental cars, great.
Good man, Lawrence.
You hear a bit of screeching in the mountaintop, as I'll say, taking a few death strides. But listen, thanks for everybody here
thanks,
at Highland Motors, whatever. We'll speak to you all next week as we prepare for the All Ireland football final.
You're right.